Nabi al-Kareem, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, has stated that there are four such individuals that they, nothing can stop them from going into paradise. Four individuals. What a beautiful and brilliant hadith. There are four such people, four such individuals, that there is nothing, no power, nothing that can stop them from going into paradise. If I did not know this, that people would become negligent and lazy, then O Umar, I would tell you that go into the streets, into the shopping ways, and go out and announce everywhere this point. And this is the hadith, alhamdulillah. And obviously the narrator of this hadith is Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu. And in this hadith, if we see that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, how he is merciful to the ummah and how much fikr he has for the ummah, how much worry he has for the believers, that not one person did Rasulullah ﷺ prefer, that not even one person goes into hellfire, into Jahannam, or is, you can say, overcome by the punishment of the hereafter. And Rasulullah's favors on the ummah, his mercy is without any limit, without any upper limit. Look how he, with all of his efforts and his striving, sent his mercy to us, delivered his mercy to us, that we can take hold of the path with ease, practice with ease. And Rasulullah ﷺ demonstrated very simple things to us, though, so that somehow all of us can be saved from Jahannam, the hellfire. Now if we see that how, in which way, in which manner Rasulullah ﷺ gave his love and affection to the ummah, that by saying this at the same time, that if I've given you such an easy path, I don't want it to be that people leave ibadat and just take all of this action. This was the style and the manner. Rasulullah ﷺ did not want people to fall into the trap. They become totally lazy and negligent, and then they'll leave ibadah, like we do nawafil and extra voluntary actions. So it's such an easy path and method. But alongside this, Rasulullah ﷺ also said this, but okay, no problem, let me tell you anyway. Let me tell you anyway, subhanAllah. This also happens, and this is good. And how did Rasulullah ﷺ tell us in the go out, O Umar, and announce to my ummah, in the streets, in the pathways, wherever you are, that if they take hold of this amal, then nothing, no item, no person, no power can stop them from entering into paradise, Jannah. What a big guarantee. What a big, big guarantee and security that Rasulullah has told us, that whatever is in front of us, whatever is happening around us, that we can reach to Jannah, to paradise. And it's obvious that we have to leave the world to go to Jannah, isn't it? So, we have the mountains and the hurdles in front of us, and tests and trials to come in front of us. And we are now in the, you can say, the environment of the test and the trial. And everyone here is the same, isn't it? But we will see in the hereafter the differentiation. If we take an example, going to a garden, an open field, and it's a mango orchard or an oranges orchard or fruit orchard. So how will we know that which tree is good, which fruit is good? There's no recognition or no differentiation. But when you find out is when the harvest takes place, and then when the fruit that has grown has fallen off, when the fruit grows on the trees. Before that, we don't know. But when the fruits grow on the tree, and you break the fruit off the tree, off the branch, and then you see the sweet fruit, and you'll taste it, you'll say, ah, subhanAllah, this is a good tree. And where there are bitter fruits, you'll say, ah, this tree is not good, and this is the good tree. So here, alhamdulillah, we're all on the same playing field. The masjids are full, everyone is ibadat, amal, umrah, hajj, and billions of people. Everyone's equal, looks equal physically, but when the fruit bears, when it bears fruit, Allah Ta'ala speaks about that yawm, that day, the differentiation will take place. You come here, Umia, this is your ibadat, this is the reality, this is what you'll get. That's when we'll realize whose fruit, which tree had good fruit, sweet, and which had the bitter fruit. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah's Nabi, alhamdulillah, he's given us a good path, a simple path, an effective path, that the tests that are to come, the trials that are to come, the hurdles that will come, the restrictions, and so many thousands of years will have to pass by those hurdles and tests in the hereafter. And such feelings there will be, we read in a hadith. And the, here, you have to shake anyway and depart. But the journey to come, that's the journey that we have to prepare for here. Here, that's where we'll learn and realize the truth. That how much we were lazy, and the deeds that we were showing off with, and the deeds we wanted to run away from, we were showing off to people, we thought we were guaranteed success and forgiveness. And then we'll see in the qabr, that was our tree full of the sweet fruit or the bitter fruit? And that's when all will be revealed. So Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is given guarantee for that time. The test that will come, the grave, the day of judgment thereafter. What a great Nabi. And Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the greatest is our Nabi. Our Nabi. And Rasulullah says, okay, fine, let me take you past all of these hurdles. You know, like you have a train and you want to go from Ahmedabad to Bombay, or from Peshawar to Karachi, north to south. There are different types of trains. When you go, you say, oh, this is a passenger train. This train stops everywhere, and every stop, every village, every town. And this one will take a long time. There are different types of styles. And here, the Bombay Express train. What's the function of that train? You sit down from Ahmedabad, and it won't stop anywhere, straight to Bombay, non-stop. Peshawar to Karachi, non-stop, quick. So, oh, you'll jump in that train. Now, give me that ticket. Oh, I don't want to stop on the way. So, give me the express ticket, please. He says, okay, fine. Your seat is booked, and you'll go easily to a destination. So, Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is saying, come, sit on my express train, and I'll give you the straightforward path, no stops on the way, straight into paradise. Aha. Subhanallah. So, there's also this train. You want to sit on that express train? The Rasulullah has prescribed to us direct. And today the ticket is being issued with the fadl of Allah, the grace of Allah. The ticket is being issued. You can buy it. Allah's Nabi is saying, sit on this train. Your seat's booked. Don't worry. Smooth journey. We're scared. We're still scared. Oh, the Umar, tell the Ummah, they'll become lazy. They're going to leave the deeds. Once they sit on the train, then they can sleep easy. So then there will be no enjoyment, is there? So tell them, take them out of their predicament, and at least they can reach somehow to the success. At least get onto that train, isn't it? Let's do that. So, four individuals will have no restriction in getting into paradise. Now, I don't have enough time to mention all four. Let's grab one today. Let's take one seat today, and then inshallah, when we have time, we'll discuss the other individuals on this hadith. So the first action, or person, or character, Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam stated the first thing. Rasulullah said, Umar, that if a person has more children, offspring. Now here we don't have that concept in this locality, culture. Here we have marriage, and then on the table already there are the tablets that not yet. Not yet, we have to get a house, and then the tablets are ready. That not to expect yet, and people start worrying about the first child. Oh, the child's gonna come, it's too much burden, we won't have children yet, we have to get a house first, we have to do planning, marriage planning. And what did Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam say? That have a lot of children, so I can be proud of my ummah, that it is big. Look at the difference. Islamic culture. And here we scare people. Ah, beware. How dare you have more children? Too many children. Burden. Another hadith I remember. MashaAllah for the women. It is a good hadith that the best woman, Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, the best woman, most beautiful woman, the best woman is the woman who will increase the population of the ummah and increase it. So alhamdulillah, in our elder generation, that this amal, this action was happening. There's a child on the roof, one in the street, three or four playing with the food, two children are in the other street, one is on the tree, on the branch. MashaAllah, there was a lot of, you can say, MashaAllah, busyness in the family, a lot of light and nur in the family. What are we scared of today? How are we going to feed the children? How am I going to get the bread for the children? How am I going to rear the children? And what did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? That every child that is born into a family, every child, forget about social security, I will create his income first. So test it. Test it out. Every child will bring his own unique rizq and wealth to the family. Allah puts it in a packet, here's your rizq, O child, before you even born. And then that person's poor. When the child comes, then through his earnings, Allah, the family eats. Allah Ta'ala sends the earnings through that child to the family, and everyone eats in the family. So every child brings progression and advancement in the family. So how dare we think that poverty will come? A person who interferes with Allah Ta'ala's system, how can he be happy in this world? Allah Ta'ala, leave it to Allah. Allah's got the control. That when the child comes, like the machine, Allah Ta'ala creates a rizq. But what do? We say, oh no, planning. Sometimes it happens, yes. That for example, the woman is not healthy, she's sick, she's not well due to the doctor's advice, or medically there's an advice and there's a complication or a burden, then obviously that's an excuse. There is a preparation for that. But to be scared of this poverty, I'm going to grow them up and our beauty will finish and our figure will be disfigured and we won't look attractive anymore. We're worried about our young age and our figure and our attraction and looks and we leave the children. Allah, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is not happy with this. Yes, and he is, then they have more illness, those people. They have more affliction, they have more distress, those people who do this sort of planning. Anyway, so Rasulullah said the person who has more children, more offspring, Rasulullah mentioned, then at the same time, look at the sketch here, and muflisi, more children and poverty, both things. So there's trial and test in the food a man earns, he brings the bread home, but there's still tightness, poverty. And this is the direct ticket for Jannah. I said this, didn't I? This is the direct ticket. So you have a bit of pain, innit? You got to stand in the line and get shoved about. When you want to get the ticket for the train at the train station, when you want to get into the express train, you got to have a bit of struggling and striving in the station when you're buying a ticket. For example, you want to go from Ahmedabad to Bombay or Peshawar to Karachi, Karachi to Peshawar. You want the express train. Then when there's a long queue for the train and they're pushing around, you have to get influenced to get the ticket. Pay a bit extra maybe. So Rasulullah said it's obvious if the person's poor and he has a lot of children. But now comes the solution. Here's the mujahida. And in this situation, if a person who's living his family life like this, and he puts into the mouth of his child, not one haram he allows to enter into the mouth, then he's got the ticket for paradise. He doesn't allow one morsel of haram. Doesn't matter how poor they are, how much time he has to spend working, but he tries his best that in the mouth of my child should go the halal food and halal wealth and halal earnings. Then that person will direct go into paradise. Direct he will go into paradise. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam stated this. No one can stop him. Nobody. Lot of children, poor, nothing to eat, and struggling, but he doesn't allow haram to enter into their mouth. And today, we have opposite situation. Ajib. Today we're not scared of poverty. Yes, we don't eat from the poverty. We don't make our children eat haram. Nowadays, due to society, we take haram. Due to the fear of society and our image and promotion, we want to show off and show we're big to people. The need has finished. We don't have the need. Otherwise, we would be happy if we see how much a rizq is thrown out of the pockets of people. How much people throw money and food. Half is eaten, half is thrown. So there's no poverty nowadays. Nowadays we go beyond that in society and commit the sin in the whole world. People are competing with each other. Their image, their status. Nowadays the situation has changed. Even now if we're doing the sin of haram, earning haram, and with haram ibadat, and with haram eating, with haram our daily actions, then we say, as I said, all the trees are the same here. But when we eat the fruit in the hereafter, we'll see which fruit was sweet, which one was bitter. Whose salah was good? Whose hajj was good? Whose sajda is good? Whose prostration is good? That's when we're going to realize, here we're doing everything. That's fine. But these hadith, they defend the status quo. The reality from these hadith, the treasure that's coming to us, that today is telling us that understand now today, right, what is left, what is good, what is wrong. Don't wait for that time when you're going to struggle on the day of judgment. The foundation is told to us by the hadith. Everything has a foundation. What's the foundation of success? Rizq, wealth. If you give one morsel, one handful of haram now to your child, fine, but the tree will grow. And when that tree grows, and then disobedience will come, there will be no knowledge affected to them. You can read, make them study Bukhari and Muslim, and try your best, and that my child, may he become good. You can try your best. But because from the first condition, Rasulullah said, the first step, when you rear the children, you put haram into the earnings. And in that passion of haram and running after haram, you're not loving that child by feeding them haram. That's not love. By giving them more money and wealth and to make them give them bigger cars and houses and nicer clothes so they look good in front of people. You want them to show off and look pompous and glorious. No, but you give them haram. If he has one cloth and he goes into Darul Uloom, into a madrasa, into an institution, and he has no other, and he has poverty, can't afford nothing, and you have given him tarbiyah from the beginning, that child, that don't be greedy. Don't demand too much. Given such a tarbiyat that in the young age, when he was making mistake, and you told him off there and then, and stop the haram, then until the older age, he will not make that mistake, the child. This is Islam, is such a religion, I swear by Allah. Such an environment is made. constructive, strong, solid ma'ashra is made, that the insan, there is no bad and evil or negative. But we've forgotten our sabak, our lesson. We've forgotten it. When the children grow up, oh, we're destroyed. Our children, they're sold off or committed the sins. I sent him there, Darul Uloom. I taught him this hadith and Quran, and I gave them. It's all drama. First and foremost, did you feed halal to the children? لَقَدْ كَانَكُمْ فِي رَسُولُ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنًا. Let's go to the court of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and see the first lesson that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us how to save ourselves from haram. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this was Masjid Nabawi, and Imam Hussein, Hazrat Hussein radhiyallahu anhu, what a name, subhanallah. Islam is revived after every Karbala. Subhanallah, Islam didn't revive like this. There were many people in the Ahlul Bayt, the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, were there not? There were many. But what was the speciality of Hazrat Hussein? How he was reared, his grandfather, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, how he reared him, brought him up. Imagine. In Masjid al-Nabawi, the Prophet's mosque, and there are a lot of dates in a pile, sadaqah dates. And you cannot take out of the sadaqah. You can't take for the family, nor can you eat it. It's for sadaqah, for the people in need. And now, I'm smiling, what can I say to you? What sort of issues and actions people take out? Now, Sayyid knows that I can't get the sadaqah. So what did he say? He said, okay, what you do is give sadaqah to this person. He said, okay, sadaqah will come, you don't eat it, and then you give me as hadiah, then it will become jais for me. Subhanallah. So hadiah is jais, isn't it? The gift. Allahu Akbar. So, how people play games, we don't learn. We want money somehow to get into the pocket. So he says to him, sadaqah I can't take. So give sadaqah to this person who's in need, and then he'll give it to me as a gift, playing games. So there was a pile of dates. Hazrat Hussein Radhan was small. He came in, playing, and he took the dates and he put them in his mouth. And Rasulullah was sitting there. Suddenly Rasulullah stood up, went straight. Straight away he ran with speed. And Rasulullah took the finger and put it into his mouth. And very quickly extracted and stopped the date from going through the throat, that it doesn't go through his throat, and he took it out from the mouth with his blessed finger. Dragged it out. Pulled it out. He said, you can't eat this, Hussein. What a mouth in which Rasulullah's blessed finger went into his mouth. Imagine this. What a blessed finger that went into that blessed mouth. What is that mouth into that blessed finger went into that mouth? And what tarbiyat and education that was given to the Ummah, that don't feed your children haram, save your children from haram this way. No love will take place. No love will be successful. From far you can see that this child, if he does this action, no, it doesn't matter. What difference does it make? He's a child. It doesn't matter if he does this. It's all right. It's khair. He's a child. The story will come after. That finger, Rasulullah knew the effect of that day going through the throat. That same blessed mouth, Allahu Akbar, Hazrat Hussein in Karbala, it presents the story. Not the story, the event. This was tarbiyah. For Islam is revived after every Karbala incident. Out today, Hazrat Hussein, Hazrat Hussein, Hazrat Hussein. This is tarbiyah. This is how the example is taught, brothers. This is a direct train of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Get onto that train, express train. What do we say? No. I want the easy way. I want the stopping service. I want the hard way. And we follow other paths. This is the foundation. Whoever's rizq is halal, his wealth is halal, he will have enjoyment of worship, acceptance of worship. Look at this. All of the family, rearing them, the foundation, your ibadah, your worship, everything is due to the rizq. If you're halal, rizq, lawful earnings, everything's fine. Hazrat Abu Darda radiyallahu anhu. If this is the style of Rasulullah with his children, then what about the noble sahaba radiyallahu anhu? Imagine how careful they were with regards to earnings. Hazrat Abu Darda radiyallahu anhu was a companion. May Allah be pleased with him. Famous companion. MashaAllah, many hadith he has narrated that we listen to and read. And in dhikr, about dhikr, there are many hadith narrated by him. So, as soon as Fajr was prayed, and MashaAllah, the practice of Rasulullah, the Sahaba Ikram after Fajr, they would sit in that same place until Ishraq and do dhikr. Rasulullah, many hadith narrated. In that same place where they prayed, they'd sit down on the mat and be busy in maraqba and dhikr of Allah until the sunrise, and maraqba and dhikr of Allah. The Sahaba as well. So this sahabi, he used to leave the masjid quickly, Hazrat Abu Darda, and people were surprised on this action. And then he was the Shaykh, Rasulullah, and he asked his murid, student, why is it after Salatul Fajr you leave the masjid quickly and go? And also you're leaving my sohbah, my company in the masjid and dhikr, and you depart quickly before Ishraq. What's the reason here, Abu Darda? So Rasulullah called Abu Darda, come here, before you go, explain to me. I've seen for some days, Abu Darda, that after Salatul Fajr, you don't stay seated and you leave the masjid quickly after praying Fajr. What's the reason for this? There must be a reason. That Rasulullah must know that there's a reason. What could be the reason here that you're doing this? So Hazrat Abu Darda said, Ya Rasulullah, I feel like so much to sit. How can I leave your company? You saw that he was an ashik, Abu Darda. Even if he didn't have ibadah to his name, but to see the blessed face of Rasulullah was ibadah, worship. It was very difficult for them to leave the connection and this company. Who would want to leave Rasulullah's blessed face and company? None of them would. But he said, O Prophet of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, how can I leave your company, your sohbat, your blessed appearance, and your vision, and the masjid, and you? O sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Rasulullah sallam, but the reason for me to do this, I'm ashamed to say this, but I want to present to you, you asked me, so I reply to you, tell me, Rasulullah sallam said. He said, O Prophet of Allah sallam, that my home, my house, and next to it, the house next to it, there's a date tree between the houses, and a very good date grows from that tree. There are different types, more than 100 brands and species, and he says, a very nice date, and Medina khujur, date, subhanAllah. He said, O Prophet of Allah sallam, in the morning, that, mashallah, when the winds of Medina blow, it's a beautiful breeze in the morning of Medina, has a beautiful fragrance and effect and power. You go, mashallah, you will have seen this. So he said, the morning time, when the breeze of Medina blows, and those dates, when the breeze touches the branches of those date palms, and due to the dates, they sway, the branches, and the dates, they are, mashallah, ripe. And just like Rasul, you see that today, the weather, that is the weather for the harvest, and all the dates are ready and ripe. They just need a bit of breeze, and then those dates fall onto the ground. And Hazrat Abu Darda is explaining this to Rasul. He said that due to the breeze in the morning, early morning, and then due to the breeze, the branches sway, and the dates, they fall off the branches, and they fall down. And by chance, the direction of those dates, it falls towards my house, and quite a lot of dates, good dates, high grade dates, they fall into my home. And Rasulullah said, okay, I understand that. Then, so what's the reason for you to depart quickly? He said, Ya Rasulullah, the reason is this, that my children are sleeping at that time. They're young. They're little children and young, and they're sleeping. And my attempt is this. I quickly get home before sunrise, before my children get up, and I gather all the dates and I throw them back into the house so that no child gets up and eats those dates. Allahu Akbar, subhanAllah. This is rearing the children with halal, because he knew the dates were from that tree that was next door. And this was the Sahabi, and today his name is, mashallah, famous. About whom is told, they were the shining stars in the sky. What a great learning, what a great maqam Allah Ta'ala has given to the Sahaba. And they showed and demonstrated physically. So my brothers, this is the train, express train to Jannah. You have to strive, not working hard, easy. Easy. And Allah puts barakah and blessings into these deeds. Allah doesn't give tightness, poverty. Whenever a person follows Rasulullah's advices and the path prescribed by Rasulullah, then before, when the beginning, it looks like it's tough and hard. But when he sits on the train, then there's no better journey than that express train of Rasulullah's advice. And he easily, smoothly gets to a destination. So brothers, we need to be careful. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq. He gives us tawfiq of big deeds and children. And then we complain to Allah tomorrow. We complain, and Allah Ta'ala hears our complaints, and then we degrade Islam. Look at my child, look at my daughter, my son, and we are putting them off, and we swear at them, and we earn swears and bad curses from the people in the dunya. Isn't this the case? That we are wretched ourselves, we curse them ourselves, and other people curse them. But on the day of judgment, as I said, all the trees here may look the same, but on the day of judgment, when the child comes, then all the reality will open up, be unraveled. Then the father will be the criminal, and the child will be the one who will give the da'wah and make the claims. And the child will make the claims that my father, he made me wretched, he put me off track, he taught me the wrong thing. What was his foundation? Allah. That his foundation is that he taught me and fed me haram. Why did my father feed me haram? My mother, did I tell him to buy me this big car or buy me this big house detached or give me expensive clothes and shoes? This was his desire, my parents. And the father is complaining to Allah on the day of judgment. The son is complaining. The daughter, we didn't need a big house, Allah. We didn't say to our dad, give us nice food and clothes and haram. This was his nafs that he was following to compete with people in dunya. If he could put halal to us, even if he'd only give us £10, if we complained, there's something else, Allah. But we never complained. It was him. Wherever he gave us haram and haram morsels and food, alhamdulillah, that child, when there's no haram, then that child praises the parents. Am I right or am I wrong? This is in front of you today. The whole society is around us. You can see the difference between the halal and the haram. The effects of halal and haram. The child will say, he fed me haram in the world. And then when I grew up and I went against him, that when the effect of the blood, my haram blood came out and the tree grew up, and when I started to give the bitter fruit, and when I used to run after the women, and I used to drink alcohol and cannabis, and I used to go after the bad actions, then he was swearing at me. That you, what are you doing? That how did you give me water? You gave me the water. You watered the plant, and when I grew up, then why did you put the haram into my mouth and stomach? That's one date, and here, alhamdulillah, we have tens and thousands, and it's haram. Is this not something to worry about, my friends? There's one path Rasulullah told us, be awake, awaken, alert, alert. And especially, this is a big nasiha, those people who have got married, and those people who have children, and the children are young, alhamdulillah. Then I have seen such a house that the child has just been born. But this is the awareness, the conscious taqwa is there today. Probably it's not the case that there's no practice on the hadith. No, don't think people don't practice the hadith. If I'm not doing it, and all the hadith are sealed in the books, and there's no mutaqi in the world, and I'm the best, and there's no one who's careful, cautious, I swear by Allah, how can this be? The deen is alive today. Will Qiyamah not come? If they are not good people, will the walis of Allah not be there in the world today? Are there no ghus and qudum in the world today? Are there no people around who say Allah, Allah, Allah? Are there no sincere people in the world? Is it just us? We think that we are following halal? No, my brothers, remove the veils from your eyes. Hadith are alive today. The verses of the Quran are alive. With the fadl of Allah, the hadith are alive, and until Qiyamah, such good people will continue to come. Rasulullah's sayings, his statements, people are there who do amal on it. 100% they come. And they are present. And they practice. There's a young daughter. She's 6 months old. Is there any power or effect in a 6 month old child daughter? Tell me. So what did that mother do? What was the habit? That when it was food time, eating time, mashallah, beautiful story. So when it was time, you know, after 6 months or after 4 months, then you start feeding them the porridge and the... You know, everyone's shaking their heads. Those people, you know, you give them the tins of food and the bottles of food, 4 months, 6 months old. So what did the mother do? That when the child, when she fed him porridge, her porridge, 4, 5, 6 months year old daughter, and she gave her a spoon, Bismillah, wa tawakkal Allah, Bismillah, and she's reading the dua. She's reading the dua, Bismillah, wa barakat Allah, Bismillah, awwal wa akhir, and then the daughter opened the mouth from far away. Imagine. So if the child has adhan in the ears, then it's a person who's born as a Muslim. So this is adab of eating. Adab is being taught from that month. And she's giving the food according to the routine. Now the thing to hear is, the good thing is the child, the awareness, the conscious. Whenever she finished eating, she read the dua. Yes, alhamdulillah, alladhi atamna wa sakana wa ja'alana min al-muslimin. She heard Muslimin, she screamed out, oh, food time finished. Subhanallah, look at this effect. The 4, 5 month old daughter, she understood this dua, that her food time finished. Then she shrieked out, she wanted to eat more. She wanted to say, this is tarbiyah. So as I said, that doesn't finish hadith and deen and Quran and practice. And when you give such tarbiyah to the children, halal rizq, and the method of Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the style of giving, and the way to eat and finish, and the child is understanding this. That food goes noor with the fadl of Allah into the body of that person. Me and you, do we do this? Are we careful? Do we feed halal? Rather, we feed and we slap them and beat them. Eat, eat, eat. Astaghfirullah. And some people, they swear and say bad words. A mother's got to go shopping and the child is eating 3, 4 months year old. And then all the issues, mashallah, with every language, the words and the swears and the bad, vile language goes into the ear of the child. But mashallah, here the du'as were being said to the children. It was, waja'alna min al-muslimin. And then the child shrieked out. That no, you can't finish the food. It's not the end of the food yet. It's still time to eat. I want to eat more. Subhanallah. So brothers, this is the train, the express train. Rasulullah has told us, rizq halal, halal earnings. May Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq, all the effort of dhikr, of striving, that we need to become the human beings, the good human beings. That's why for my islah, for my rectification, that I speak that just not by dhikr can we become successful. We have to ask ourselves, why are we doing dhikr? Why is Allah Ta'ala making us seated here? Why do we have love for dhikr in our hearts? For this reason, the mistakes we've made, that we need to stop them. And there's still time. We're not dead yet. We haven't gone in our graves yet. Even today, if we do true tawbah and we repent with true tawbah, the mistakes we've made, and we have proper true tawbah, and we change our lives from today totally, and we stop and blunt that path of haram. We say, Allah, till today I've reared my children with haram, but from today, what should I do? I'm awake today, I've realized I want to sit on this train, you are Rahim and Kareem. I do true tawbah to you, Allah. I do tawbah, and all of the previous sins removed, and the doors of mercy will open, and the children will change. Suddenly they will change with the fadl of Allah. Suddenly, because it's down to us. If today I do tawbah, it's my fault, Allah. It's my fault, I spoiled my child. It's not his fault. It's not for, it's my fault. In front of me today, my child is standing and he doesn't listen to me. And I thought I'd teach him in Darul Uloom, Bilbam, Scholar, where I've seen such examples who eat haram, the children eat haram, and they rear with haram. And when they come out of Darul Uloom, then they're smoking cannabis, dirty actions. They've got Quran in their hearts. And that time you realize this hadith, is it right or wrong? When you fed haram to your children, they forget their Quran. They go onto the wrong path. They don't even know what they've studied. And the mother, father say, oh, my son, my daughter, alama, they're lost. But it was for dunya. You don't know about ilm. You don't have no amal, no practice, no regard. My friends, we were proud with haram. We showed people the certificate. So, cha, mashallah, your son's an alim, scholar, hafiz, but no amal, no practice. Isn't this the case? No protection. There's only one protection. Obedience to Rasulullah ﷺ, and the children will be protected. Take that path today. Alhamdulillah. Muttaqi will be that child. Muttaqi will be that child. And his taqwa will be so high that people respect him for his taqwa, for his respect, for his siddaq, for his sincerity. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq. And if we've made a mistake on this path, then there's one path still open to us today for the women and for the men. 2 rakah nafal salah, sujood, prostration in the sajda, cry and do dua to Allah, that I've made a mistake, I've eaten haram, I've fed haram, I shouldn't have done this, I've made a mistake, I've realized today, I seek forgiveness from you, Allah, and I'm going to want to go into this train, express train, and I want to put my children to the express train. I do true tawbah. After today, all the haram, I'll throw it away. Haram, I consider it as haram. Doesn't matter if it's millions I've got in front of me, and I throw la'nat on this, it's curse for me, it's destruction for me, and I'm not going to buy the ticket for the express train with this money. I consider it as dust, and make your life and all the halal that comes out of your life, even if it's £100 savings, take the £100 and start the new life and shun all the haram, and inshallah your children will also become to the good. The same children will become different and unique, even if he's 30, 25 years, 27 years old. He'll become like he's just born today and the adhan is being called in his ears today. His life will change, but you need to have courage and effort for this. Recite Durood Sharif.